That was Noah. He was floating his stock while everyone else was in liquidation. Who was the greatest female financier in the Bible? That was Pharaoh's daughter. She went down to the bank of the Nile and drew out a little profit. What kind of a man was Boaz before he got married? Ruthless. Who's the first drug addict in the Bible? That was Nebuchadnezzar. He was on grass for 7 years. Greatest comedian in the Bible was Samson. He brought the house down. And one of the first things that Adam and Eve did after they got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, they really raised Cain. What excuse did Adam give to his children as to why he no longer lived in the Garden of Eden? He said, "Your mother ate us out of house and home." Psalm 119, verse 8. Psalm 119, verse 8 says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." I'm just referring to this morning because of the simple fact I'm understanding that this verse is the middle verse in the Bible. And this verse being the middle verse in the Bible, the middle two words in this verse, well, let's count. Well, it says here, it is better to trust in the Lord. All right, so we got, it is better to trust. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The seventh word is the. And you come back from the end of the verse, and you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, the Lord. So, in the middle of the Bible is the Lord. By the way, it ought to be in the middle of your business. It ought to be in the middle of your life. It ought to be in the middle of your marriage. It ought to be in the middle of your church. Everything the Lord ought to be in the middle of. By the way, He put His signature right in the middle so nobody would make a mistake on whose book it was. It don't need a copyright, and none of the other versions have that. Let's move on. Matthew chapter 28 and verse, Matthew 28, 5 and 6. We'll be over there. Matthew 28, 5 and 6. Again, we're happy to be here this morning. What a joy it is to preach in the Berean Baptist Church. And listen, I get to run around with the best people in the world. I say that often, but I mean that. Christian people, and be around Christian people. I love it. I love it. I love it. And one of these days, I'm just going to have a better time whenever I get to heaven. Amen? And we're looking forward to that time. If you found Matthew 28, let's stand, if you will. In the reading of God's honor and reading God's Word, may that word of prayer and may get on with the message. Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen. As He said, come see the place where the Lord lay the title of my message this morning, as He said." Now, there's I started with that verse in Proverbs or Psalms this morning because we need to trust in God, not put our confidence in man. And so we need to believe what He said. And if we'll believe what He said, we'll end up where He is. And that's where I want to end up whenever I leave this world. And all of God's people said. Amen. And if you're not saved this morning, if you don't sense the joy of the Lord in this place, then there's something real matter with your mentality. Because the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. And if you're unsaved, it's exactly why this church assembles, so that you can get saved this morning. And we have come with an expectation, trusting that you'll get saved this morning. Let's bow our heads together. Father in heaven, not too far from here, I could probably drive there in 20 minutes where I was born. Just a country boy. Insignificant to everybody. Still not much significance to anybody. But you died one day on Calvary's tree to save my soul. You had me in mind when you died there, and we're thankful that out of everything that may be insignificant to everybody else, nothing. And no one in this room, no one in this world is insignificant to you. And so, dear Lord, we come to you this morning asking you to be with us. We bring this message you've laid upon our hearts. Help us, dear Lord, to glorify your name and exalt you. Lord, if there'd be one here this morning, or more than one that's lost here this morning, may they understand that you want them to come and be saved today. Today is a salvation for them. They can't put it off. God's opportunity makes this a personal obligation. So, Lord, I pray that today, if there'd be those that may be here and do not know Jesus as their Savior, they're not sure about their salvation, Lord, today they might find Jesus sweet to their soul. And Lord, for the rest of us, we pray, dear Lord, that whatever problems may be going on in our life, help us to realize that we can trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, because we can't see things the way God sees them. But He knows everything from the beginning and the end, and He knows everything that's in between. So Lord, I pray today that somebody might have their faith increased today to be a more of a true, stronger believer in the Lord Jesus Christ until you come for us. Till that day comes, may thy will be done. Bless each and every one of us, regardless of the age this morning, and regardless how long or how short we may remain here upon the earth, or when you may come and receive us into your sight. Bless now, we pray, glorify your name. In Jesus Christ we ask it. Amen. Thank you for standing with us, and you may be seated. In this passage of Scripture, we see here very clearly, as he said. I want to go back just a little ways, all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, of his first week on this earth, basically. You say his first week upon creating, I should say, of this earth and so on. Everything that he said, it come to pass, just like he said in the first week that he was here. When we'll look at some incidents that took place in regard to his last week upon the earth as he had residence here and come through the virgin birth and so on. But then we will go on and see that everything was just like he said, and that his word is the power in which we all believe. And whenever he says it, that's exactly the way that it's going to take place. And it's important that we understand the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. He learned obedience through his suffering, and we should think about his humility, but those two messages separate from what I'm preaching today. But for him to humble himself and come, what a Savior we have. And so, whenever we see the fact of the empty tomb, when we see the fact of his appearances in the heaven, in his glorified bodies, we find out 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6, where he appeared to 500 men at one time. And then his ascension into heaven, as far as that was concerned, in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, where he told his disciples before he died, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I'll come again." Hey, by the way, he said so. He's coming. Now, when he's coming, I don't know, and I really don't care. I just know he told me he's coming. He's on his way sometime. Amen. And so when we think of what he has done and what he said by his word, if you remember back at the beginning, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. In John chapter 1 he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the same was in the beginning with God." And he said, "All things were made by him, and without anything made that was made." So he created everything. So he was doing the talking at the beginning. He was doing the talking at the beginning of John chapter 1. And by the way, he's still doing the talking, and it's still going to be just like he said. If you're here this morning and you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you think you've got a better way, I got news for you. It's going to be like he said. Amen. And you need to trust him as your personal Savior if you plan on going to heaven when you die. Now, I'm going to go through some scriptures very rapidly. As you can tell, I kind of talk fast anyway. I took auctioneer training. No, I didn't. But anyway. But I want to share some things with you. Now listen, this is something I want you to get a hold of, at least one thing I want you to get a hold of this morning, that's this. That Jesus lived a life that was normal. I mean, but that is, he ate, he drank, he slept, he got tired, he got weary, he got all those things just like any other man, just like you and I. But whenever he spoke as God. In other words, whenever Jesus spoke, there was the Word of God being spoke just as much as it did in the beginning of time, just as much as it was when he said all things were by him without anything made that was made, and so on. And so we know that in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, and the things which are seen were not made by the things which do appear. So we understand those things of how God spoke, and He spoke with power. And I'm just saying that when Jesus says something, He is talking as if He is God because He is God. Now, He might have got hungry and thirsty as is in this human body on this earth, but I'm telling you, He was more than just human. He was God. Amen. Now, I want to take some passages of Scripture that you've probably read many times and so on and so forth, but nevertheless, in Luke chapter 19, verses 29 through 30, just listen unless you want to try to keep up with me. And it came to pass when He, Jesus, come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples, saying, "Go into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him, bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him." Now, when they're coming in there, Jesus says to them, I want you to go. Now, listen to the specific instructions. By the way, Jesus Christ gives us specific instructions of how we can obey Him. And whenever He tells us the instructions, He don't give us all the details ahead of time. In other words, He told them to go. Now, notice here what He says here. He says, I want you to go in the village over against you, in which you, at your entering, ye shall find a colt tied. Now, if you're a country boy or a country girl, you know that any young animal whatsoever, you better keep it tied or it's curious enough to get away from you. It'll go be a nosing around in something. And so he said, Jesus said it's going to be tied. Now listen, the disciples didn't know that. He told them that He wasn't there when He told them that. But He's fulfilling Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9 when He said how He'd winter in on the coat, the foal of an ass. So, He's God, and He knows what He's saying, and what He's saying, He means what He says. And notice here, He said, the colt will be tied, whereon never man sat. Now, I don't know about you. Again, I'm a kind of country boy, so to speak, and I can imagine if you send two young men out to get a young donkey and so on and so forth, as they get ready to go get it, and they untie it, and they get ready to bring it back, can't you just imagine one of them guys, boys are a little ornery, and men are just grown-up boys. But anyway, and so can't you just imagine one of them said, there's no use two of us walking. But you got to remember, Jesus said there's never man sat on it. In other words, they had heard Him say some other things too. Hello, you understand what I'm saying? Through the miracles and so on, they had heard Him say some other things. So when they heard Him say, never man sat on it, I'm sure as they walked back together, they probably said, you know what? It might be fun to try to ride that dude, but I'll bet you neither one of us can ride him because the Lord said, never man sat on him. And there's not going to be anybody sat on him until I sat on him because I'm the one that's in control of the creature, of the creation, and of you and me. Yeah. Is that good so far? I mean, they didn't even know anything about it. But He knew about it, and He sent them there. And He said, now, if any man asks you, why do you loose him? Well, now, who only knew that there'd be somebody there asking, well, what do you have need of him? The disciples sure didn't know, because they didn't even know where they was going, except they were following directions. By the way, that's what God expects us to do, is to trust Him and follow His direction. And so they said, if He says unto them, because the Lord hath need of him. Now in verse 32 it says, and they that were sent went their way and found even as He had said unto them. Well, isn't that odd? I mean, they just found just like He said. Well, let me say this to you. The Bible says if you'll trust in the Lord, you'll end up in heaven. Hello. Now you can't trust in anything else. Okay. You have to trust in the Lord and what He's done on the cross. In Luke chapter 22, verse 10 through 13, the Bible says, and He said unto them, behold, when you enter into the city, there shall man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house whither he entereth. And you shall say to the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is thy guest chamber? Where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples. And you shall show you a large upper room furnished. there, make ready. Now, here we even got another situation. See, they're coming into town the last week of his life. First week, everything he spoke everything into existence. The last week of his life, he's preparing everything for the Passover and so on. He's got his disciples following him. He's telling them what to do, and they don't even understand necessarily what to do, but they are obeying what he says to do. And so they enter into this city, and this guy bearing a pitcher. Now, many times a woman would be carrying a pitcher instead of a man. Jesus said, there'll be a man meet you carrying a pitcher. Now, he said a pitcher of water. You know, the indication is that there's water in the pitcher. Now, if a man's carrying it on his shoulder, if he's carrying it on his head, how in the world do you know that it's got water in it? Them earthen vessels wasn't transparent. Was they, dear brother? No. No, when God looked down at him, he looked from the top down. But anyway, they wasn't transparent. So I don't know if you can remember or not, but whenever I was a boy, we used to have a well. Anybody know what a well is? Well, amen. Some people don't understand what a well is. And so we had about 75 feet from the house. And I was about 5 or 6 years old. And my mother used to say to me, David, I want you to go to the well and get a bucket of water. Now, I don't know about you, but a 5 or 6 year old boy has a hard time carrying about a 2.5 gallon bucket of water. Yeah, I'd get that sucker full, and she'd say, now I want a full bucket of water, because she knew just about what had happened before I'd get back. But nevertheless, and so as I would get that water bucket full, you know, and put the hook it on there, you know, the pump, and whatever, turn the electric on, it'd pump, and get some water in it, you know, and take it off there and set it down. Now, I've got it here in my strongest arm, you know, and I'm walking along, and as you bring your foot forward, the bucket comes and hits the back of your leg. Slop, 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 you know. That's the reason why she said I wanted a full bucket. You say, what are you saying by the point, preacher? I'm saying somehow that guy probably wasn't carrying that pitcher too accurately on his shoulder or on the top of his head, either one. And they knew it had water in it because he said, here, it has. He said, you'll see a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. He said, follow that person. That's the one I want you to follow. Well, now, how did Jesus know that that man was going to be over there carrying a pitcher of water? Well, He knows everything. Yeah. How does He know whenever He's asked you to go visit somebody that that they may be at home or they may not be at home? As long as you be obedient to God, it doesn't make any difference whether they're home or not. Yeah. And so here we see that He says here, follow that man. And He said, ask the good man of the house. He said, Master saith unto thee. And Jesus already knew who the person was and everything. You say, really? Yeah, really. He already knew. And he said here, where's the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover? He knew that there's already a place that had enough room that they could have the Passover together with his disciples. My point is that they disobeyed. The Bible says in verse 13 of this reference, he said, and they went and found, I guess you can say what the next three words or four words are, as he had said. Yeah, that's what they did. And so they made ready for the Passover. In Luke chapter 22, in verse 34, you remember, if you will, please, there was a man, and he said, I tell you, Peter, remember when he was going to be crucified, and Jesus told the disciples he was going to be crucified, you know what Peter said? You know, not me, Lord. I mean, I'm telling you, I'll die. I mean, I'll die with you. I want you to know that. And he said, now, Peter, the truth of the matter is, before a creature called a cock crow, he even knew when the rooster crowed. He said, before he crows, you'll deny me three times. That'll be about 12 hours. I just said I'd die for you if necessary, didn't I? But the Master said, the Lord said, let me ask you something. You know what's going to happen? Hello? You know what's going to happen? It's going to happen just like he said. And it did happen just like he said. And the Bible says that Peter went away, wept bitterly. But I know one thing. The Lord still loved him. Still willing to forgive him, and still willing to restore fellowship with him. Yeah. because he already knew what was going to happen. By the way, if you're being a little critical of Peter, as Brother McIntosh kind of said this morning, look in the mirror of God's Word and see where you are. You know, don't talk about, worry about Peter too much, because, I mean, in the next 12 hours, evaluate yourself. And I don't mean in big things. Hello. It can be in little things. And so we find that Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now, in John chapter 10, verses 17 through 18, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down to myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up. This command I receive my Father. Now, this had never happened before, ever, that a man... Oh, you say, well, now, preacher, there was some that was raised from the dead. Yeah, there was some that was raised from the dead by his power, but no one ever rised from the dead, or had risen from the dead by his own power. Yeah. And he said, I'll lay down my life and I'll take it up. You know what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Just as he said. And I like it over there in Matthew chapter 28, where it says, come and see the place where the Lord, if you look that up in the Greek, it says supreme in authority. I can just see the devil and death and all that there in that tomb. And Jesus says there, well, boys, it's been nice being with you, but goodbye. Hell, glory, hallelujah. I mean to tell you that He is the resurrection and He is the life. And when you put your faith and trust in Him, He's your resurrection and He's your life. And if you don't have Him, you don't have the power of resurrection. Nor do you have eternal life. You say, well, who died and left you balls? Nobody. I'm just reading what he said. Yeah. The Bible says in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, he has proved that he's the way, he's the redemption, he's the revealed truth, he's the life after this, he's the victorious one, he's the glorious resurrected body. Because you say, why do you know that? Because that's just exactly what he said he was going to do. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again. Paul said, how can we know the way? He goes on and said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man cometh to the Father or has the power of the resurrection except by or through me. You're not going to get there. Marvel not that I say this. In John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, Jesus stood on his feet, marvel not at this. The hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. One unto the resurrection of life, another unto the resurrection of damnation. You say, well, there's two different resurrections. Yes, there's two different judgments. One's the judgment seat of Christ, where your sins have already been judged. If you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, and when you arrive at the judgment seat of Christ, He'll give you rewards for the deeds you've done in the body. Isn't that an amazing thing? I mean, He come to earth and we give Him our worst and He give us His best. And then if you serve Him on this earth and He jots down every good deed you do for Him to bring glory and honor to His name, He jots it down, and one of these days, not only does He give you heaven, but He rewards you for being there. Wow. Wow. I'll just be glad to be there. I hope I get some reward, but I'll just be glad to be there. You know how I know that I'm going to be glad to be there? Because that's what He said. That's what He said. Now you see, in John chapter 3, he had a person by the name of Nicodemus come to him. And he's a very religious man, and you may be here this morning. You may be very religious, and you think, well, I've got it all solved. You know, I do this, and I do that, and so on. And I come to church, and I sing with when they sing, and I pray with them whenever they pray, and I give in offerings whenever they give, and I hear the preaching, and so on and so forth. But, my dear friend, if you've never received Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you're just as on your way to hell as you can be. You see, I can stand in the garage, but I don't become a car. Hello? All this transgender stuff is absolutely idiotically stupid. Oh, excuse me. But anyhow, you know, I can see when I need a shave or other guys could shave. And I'm not against beards. I'm just saying that there's not too many women that's like me. And oh, well, I mean, I don't have to be an Einstein to figure out who needs to go to which bathroom. You know, I didn't get up this morning thinking that I was something different than I was the day before. Okay. Now, don't let me go down that road, Lord. We don't need to go down there. But anyway, I'm just saying that, hey, you say, I've had people say, well, I just think whenever life's over, that I'm just going to die and that's the end of it. Well, you haven't read the Bible. Because he says, marvel not that I say unto you that all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. It's appointed unto man once to die. Sometimes people say, well, I don't think there's anything here after this. I said, well, you don't believe what God said, and he's the one that created you. You better believe what he said, because he created you, and you're going to be obedient to what he said. And the Bible says you're appointed unto man once to die, but he also says after this. So there is going to be an after this. And because there's going to be an after this, you better be ready for the after this. Because there's going to be one of two places. You're going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to go to the great white throne judgment. If you go to the great white throne judgment, you're going to die and go to hell. You say, preacher, you said that about enough this morning. No, I don't think it's ever been said enough. See, I think, listen, in the last few years that I was a pastor, I used to come home and tell Patsy once in a while people would want me to go to the hospital and visit somebody, and they was in a sedated state, and people would say, I want you to witness to them. How can you witness somebody when they're sedated? And yet other people you go, you know, and you say, well, you know, I've been a whatever. We have one in a strong Catholic Lutheran area, and say, well, you know, I think I'm saved, and so on and so forth, and I'm happy. I mean, I'm right with God. I'm right with God. Well, have you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior? Well, now, preacher, you don't have to worry about me. You don't have to worry about me. My point is, I've seen a lot of people die with a personal peace in their heart that was not going to heaven if they followed the doctrines that they're taught at their church. That's the reason I like Berean. I know what it teaches, and I know it's back to the Bible. Okay? And so it's important that we understand we get Bible teaching. And so Jesus said, him that cometh unto me, in John chapter 6, verse 37, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Well, who said that? He did. So if you're here this morning and you say, well, you don't know anything about my life. No, and I don't have to. But I've just read you about someone that knew all about how the coat was tied and so on and so forth. I read you about where the room was for the Passover meal to be prepared. And somebody knew all about that, and the disciples disobeyed because they didn't know. They disobeyed and found it to be true as he had said. And I'm just saying to you this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, it's going to be like he said. It's not going to be like you think. Because you see, listen to what else he said. In John chapter 12 and verse number 48, the Bible says, he that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken. Did I say something about in the beginning he spoke it? Hello? Did I say in the last week on earth he spoke some things that the disciples didn't even understand and what have you? Fact is, after his resurrection, you know what Peter said? I go fishing. Yeah. So it's hard for him to understand that anybody had even ever been resurrected from the dead because it hadn't been done before. But there's one that did. You know why? Because that's what he said. And so, one of these days, my dear friend, he said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, the Bible says very clearly, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Can I just say to you this morning that this is the word you need to put your faith and trust in? Did I somewhere start off this morning in Psalms 118? Verse 8, saying the Lord needs to be right in the center. I'm just saying to you this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I don't care how much you think on it. And I don't care how much I've thought on it, but I can tell you one thing, dear friend. You do not have a clue of the horror of hell. And God Himself has done everything that He required for you to go to heaven when you die. What God's holiness required, His love provided. And He doesn't want you to come short of it. Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, you know, many times in the Bible it says, let us fear, let us fear, let us fear. This passage of Scripture says this. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest. And by the way, that's just people in the wilderness, and they didn't enter into the promised land because of their unbelief. Okay? And so it says that, He said, let me start again. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest. In other words, the rest of eternal life that we can have, and we can rest in that. And as we started off singing this morning, save, save, hello. I can get kind of loud about that. Amen? Because I know I'm saved. I didn't save myself, but I know He saved me. Yeah. And the Bible says He, lest any of you should come short of it. Now listen, for unto us was the gospel preached as well unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You see, when we think about the process that I want you to think about here, not mixing with faith in them that heard it. Okay? Now, what you're hearing this morning, now, for example, a recipe, okay? If one of these young ladies up here would want to make a German chocolate cake like Grandma makes, and Grandma writes it down to the nth degree, and they bake it, and a few days Grandma calls and says, honey, how'd the cake turn out? Well, Grandma, it didn't quite turn out like yours turns out. Well, then you didn't follow the instructions correctly. Because the instructions were good. And the way you put in the ingredients was good and so on. But if you didn't mix it all right. Now, some of you can remember when Grandma didn't have a mixer. Hello. Grandma, she put the butter in, the flour in, sugar in, eggs in, or whatever. How you bake one, I don't have a clue. But the point is that she had a big old bowl. And she got her a wooden spoon over here. And after she got the ingredients in without a mixer, she had... the process is the mixing. If you don't mix it good, it won't turn out to be a blessing. Hello. If you're lost this morning, you've heard the words, and I am confident that the ingredients are good. But if you don't mix it with your faith toward heaven, God will extend His grace. And if you'll reach up, He'll reach down. And by grace through faith, faith that you're mixing and believing what He hath said. Very simply. For God so loved the world. By the way, anybody know who said that? Yeah. Same person. That He gave His only begotten Son. That's me. That whosoever believeth in Him. Should not perish. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. But given to them everlasting life. For God sent not His Son, that's me, into the world, mankind, but that the world through Him might be saved. And there's a crowd here, he that believeth, there's coming a day when no heartache shall come. Amen. Amen. He that believeth is not condemned. But he that believeth not. Now listen, friends, let me just say this to you very clearly. You're on one side or the other. You're not somewhere in between. Well, you know, I go to church, you know, when I have opportunity. Or, you know, I read the Bible occasionally. And, you know, oh, preacher, you just don't know how my life is. Well, I don't have to know. If you're lost without Christ, you're on your way to hell. That much I do know. You say, well, now, you've mentioned this thing about hell about long enough. Well, then, I'm trying to persuade you as best I can with God's Word not to go there. And I'll just be honest with you, I deserve to go there just like anybody else. But one day, as an 8-year-old boy, 63 years ago, May the 3rd, 1953, whoo, glory, I got saved. I've been saved more than some of you are old. Or young. But you know what? He's my Savior. Yeah. I've never been lost one second. I might have felt like I was lost sometimes, but that wasn't because that He left me. It's because I left Him. But the Bible says if we confess our sins, as Christian people, you say, well, sometimes I just don't feel like I'm saved. That has nothing to do with your feelings. It has to do with the facts of the Word of God. You're either saved or you're not saved. Okay? If you died right now, you're on your way to heaven. Or hell, one of the two. It's not a guess. It's not a flip of the coin. Well, I don't know for sure. Well, no, you can know for sure. He says, these things have been written to you that believe on them and the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life, neither is there salvation. And in the other, there's none other name. We talked about the name above all names. There is none other name. There's none other name. And you know why? Well, that's what He said. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. I don't know about you, but I've been institutionalized. I'm institutionalized in life. I'm institutionalized in marriage. I'm institutionalized in the church, and I'm really quite crazy about it. Yeah. And if you're not saved this morning, I want to invite you to trust Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. Let me just put it this way. Just a few days ago, maybe a couple of weeks, but a few days ago, we got a call, and the call on the other side said, my mother just passed away. Suddenly, she had moved from California to Texas to be close to her daughter. She had retired. She's a safe person and all that, but my point is, she went to sleep that night. Unbeknownst, she was going to die because my wife had texted her the day before and had asked her how she was doing in her retirement. So she said, things are going fine. Couldn't be better. Said, things are going good. The next morning before noon, we get a call. Mama. I don't know what I'm going to do. You see, what do you say, Brother Pringle? I'm going to say to you very clearly, you don't know when that's going to happen to you. It could be before we come back to church tonight, or if we never meet again on this other side, you and I don't know when that's going to happen. I just know the majority of the people here know that if it happens to them, they're going to fulfill what the Holy Spirit had pinned down when He said to the Corinthians, Paul wrote to Corinth and said, to be absent from the body for the Christian is to be present with the Lord. And son or daughter, man, woman, let me say this to you. After repentance, there's always rejoicing. Yeah, they're always rejoicing. You say, well, you know, I don't know that I want to repent. Yeah, you do. You really do. I mean, you ain't got nothing worth keeping. Amen. You know, it isn't whatever you've got ain't going to get you to heaven anyway. And if you, well, what does it profit if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Profit is what's at the end of the transaction. So when your life is all over and you've made all the transactions God makes you, allows you to make, what's it going to be in eternity? Well, if you've not made a transaction with Jesus, I made it 63 years ago. And by the way, it's still guaranteed. You know why? Because it's eternal life. It's everlasting life. It's forever and forever. I couldn't lose it if I wanted to, but I don't want to. He's been so good to me. And let me say this, friend, to you. Even if you don't know Him, He's been real good to you, too. But He wants to be even better, to give you eternal life. Do you know Him today? If you don't, we're going to have a hymn of invitation here in just a moment. You say, well, I don't know what to do. If you'll just come down the aisle, there'll be somebody that if you'll just stop in the aisle and say, I need to be saved, we'll get somebody to show you how you can be saved today. Amen. If you'll place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You say, can it be that simple? If you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, it's just that simple. It really is. You say, how do you know? Because I was just 8 years old, and there's a lot of things I didn't know about the Bible. But I knew I was a sinner in God's sight. I knew if I didn't trust Jesus, I was going to hell. Yeah. And that day, I trusted Him as best I knew how and asked Him to forgive me of my sins. He'll do the same for you. Amen. Listen, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you have to call. You don't place the call. Everybody's not saved automatically. You're not saved because you're in a preacher's home. Hello. Or a missionary home or a good faithful church. You're not saved that way. You're saved because you personally have trusted Jesus as your personal Savior. Let's all stand, if you will, please. Father in heaven, we thank You this morning for Your Word. We're thankful, dear Lord, that we can trust in the Lord and put not our confidence in man. We're glad You're the center of everything. We're glad when You talk and when You speak, it's with truthfulness and authority and power and fulfillment. And Lord, today, if there's someone here that doesn't know You as Savior, may this be the day they accept You as their personal Savior. If for the others of us that have friends and relatives and ones that's unsaved, and we know they're unsaved, and maybe we've prayed for them before, and I know there's many people praying for their saved ones or lost ones and so on that need to be saved. And Lord, they may need to come this morning. Just take a few minutes just to bow down before You and say, Lord, I'm pleading His case for him or her case for her. God, help me to be that instrument if I can be. But Lord, please, please help them to get saved before it's eternally too late. Help us, everyone, to carry that kind of a burden that You carried when You died on the cross and provided salvation for every individual. Bless this invitation time. May Thy will be done, and we'll thank You for what You do, because we've asked it in Jesus' name and for His glory we pray. Amen. Sing hymn number 275, as you will, please. If you need to come this morning, won't you please come? Don't put